We continue this morning to think about prayer, what prayer is, and why it is so important to pray. Sermon title this morning, friends, Praying That We Would Know God. And you see in Ephesians 1 that, as a matter of fact, is Paul's prayer. And you find it not only here in Ephesians 1, you find it in Colossians 1, you find it in Philippians 1. In fact, whenever Paul's recording his prayer for the church of Christ, for the brothers and sisters in Christ, you find that Paul, and I mean always, makes this prayer to God for us, for the church of Christ, that we would know God. And knowing him, we would become more like him. And that's his prayer here in Ephesians 1. We're going to be learning from Paul's prayer how we ought to pray for ourselves. And so, again, the sermon title, Praying That We Would Know God. And let's read now the living and holy word of God from Ephesians 1. We start at verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of God from Ephesians 1 this morning. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ and friends, what do you do when you want to get to know someone? Of course, the old-fashioned thing to do is to talk to that person. And we have all sorts of gadgets and technologies, social media, so many different ways of reaching out to someone and learning about someone. But friends, the old-fashioned way, and it still remains the most common thing to do, you talk to someone. Communication is the best way for us human beings to get to know each other. It is through communication that two individual people gradually reveal things about themselves to one another and pursue deeper knowledge of each other, pursue greater intimacy with one another. And so it is in our relationship with God. If there is to be a relationship between a human being and God, there has to be this two-way communication. Two-way self-revelation, if you will. God first must reveal himself to us, and then we must respond by calling on God, revealing ourselves to him in some fashion, though he knows us better than we will ever know ourselves. And asking God to show us more of who he is. Dear friends, prayer is the way we communicate with God. And it is through prayer that we get to know God in large part. We get to know God through prayer. Last week, I began this series on prayer with a sort of an attempt to define what prayer is. Prayer is man's verbal response to God's revelation of himself to us. A very general definition. It's not adequate, I know, but it's a place to start. Prayer is man's verbal response to God's revelation of himself to us. It was important for me last time to make it clear from the outset that prayer is our response to God. He initiates communication with us. We don't begin that conversation or that communication with God. He initiates it. Through his words and through his deeds, God reveals himself to us so that we, and I mean all of us, ought to respond to him in prayer. You remember perhaps Paul's teaching in Romans 1 from last week? Through his creation, through the work of his hands, what he's made and how he upholds it and cares for the world through his providence, God has so clearly revealed his greatness and goodness toward every human being that we, all of us, ought to respond to him with prayer. With worship, Paul says in Romans 1, and with thanksgiving. That means prayer. Calling out to God in thanks for all of the goodness he's shown us and given to us, even through his creation and providence. Left to ourselves, none of us respond to God as we should. We're idolaters, we turn from him. Paul explains there in Romans 1 that we do not do our duty in worshiping the true God and giving thanks to him for all his many good gifts. We're a fallen race of sinners in rebellion against God. Paul goes on to tell us in Romans 8, we have minds that are hostile to God. And that doesn't mean people are looking to fight with God. It just means that they turn away from him and ignore him. And they set their minds on earthly things, on the flesh, on this world. That's what Paul says in Romans 8. That's a mind at enmity or at hostility with God. A mind that just ignores him. That's the natural mind of man as a fallen sinner. Paul clearly giving us that teaching in Romans 8. It means, friends, that we cannot please God, as Paul says there, and we will not pray to God. Not properly. Left to ourselves, we will not pray to God. And that is why spiritually dead sinners must be born again by the Holy Spirit if we are to make a proper practice of prayer. In Romans 8, Paul shows us that God's redeeming grace in his Son, Jesus Christ, actually moves us to respond to God in prayer. And I think that was the most important thing I could share with you from Romans 8 last time. Because in addition to sending his Son to accomplish our salvation, God the Father also sends us his very Spirit to apply that salvation to us in power. And it is the Spirit of adoption who saves us sinners through the gospel of Jesus Christ, leading us to respond to God in prayer. So that we say, Abba, Father. So then, friends, prayer is not just any sort of response to God. Prayer is not just any sort of communication from us to God. We must finally say that the proper practice of prayer is Spirit-led Son speech to God the Father. Prayer is something the Holy Spirit gives to us sinners who are saved by Jesus Christ and adopted by our gracious God and Father. It's the response he gives to us, not just calls us to give to him, but which he works in our hearts. See, Christians, true children of God, are those who pray. Those who make a proper practice of prayer. If God's Spirit has been given to you, beloved, that Spirit naturally tends back to God. God's Spirit, after all. Spirit's always tending back to God the Father. But if he's in you, he's turning your heart always more and more to God the Father. God's children do not just cry out in prayer to God once for deliverance from condemnation and hell. No, we find ourselves in prayer again and again, and really it should be more and more that we are praying, calling out to God, so that we may also delight ourselves in fellowship with our God and Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our elder brother. So, brothers and sisters, you know, if you are a Christian, that while prayer might be at times very hard, it is, in a very true sense, the most natural expression of true faith in God. Not a one-time response to God. Not a short-lived communication with God. No, prayer is that practice that develops in the children of God, who want to get to know our Heavenly Father more and more, who want to get to know our Savior, our elder brother Jesus, a great deal more. And that's what we especially want to consider today from Paul's teaching here in Ephesians 1. That prayer is fundamentally to be our pursuit of God. Our pursuit of greater intimacy with God. Our catechism tells us in number 116 why we must pray. And I read the answer there again. Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also, we must pray because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts, for His grace and Holy Spirit, and then thanking God for those gifts. So prayer is the primary way we show thanks to God for all He's given us in creation, in His daily kind providence. It's the way we give thanks to God, especially as His children, for the love and salvation He's given us freely through His Son, Jesus Christ. But notice there, friends, what answer number 116 goes on to teach us. It says that prayer is the way we believers continue to receive God's grace, all that we need for this life and for the next. And what is it that we need most? God. Every child in the house of God today can say it. What we need most, at all times, in all things, is God. And that's the basic thing we want to consider from Ephesians 1. So, really my main point this morning, friends, we pray to thank God for His gracious gifts and to pursue deeper intimacy with God through the gift of His Spirit. And I mean we pursue this intimacy with God by praying for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now you may be right about now thinking, wait a minute, Pastor. God gives His Holy Spirit and causes dead sinners who would have nothing to do with God to call out to God in prayer. He first gives the Spirit, changes the heart, brings us through His grace in Christ to repentance, brings us to faith in our Savior Jesus, and then we're saved and then we pray. Well, that's all very true. But when I say that we need to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit, friends, what I mean is that we as children of God who have already been born again by the Spirit, who are already believers in Jesus Christ, we, children of God, need to pray that the Holy Spirit, who has given us new birth, would be at work in us more and more to cause us to grow in Christ, in the knowledge of God. Before our passage begins there in verse 15, Paul has been really, in the first half of Ephesians 1, blessing God the Father for all of His sovereign grace given to us in Christ. And you know where that great doxology ends? Notice those verses 13 and 14. In Him, that is in Christ, Paul says, you also, you believers, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit is given to us not only to bring us new birth, to bring us to repentance, and to bring us to faith in Christ. God gives us the Spirit as that seal to mark us as His own possession. And as Paul goes on to explain there, to bring assurance to us, the guarantee we have from God in the gift of the Spirit, this guarantee that we have this glorious inheritance that belongs to Jesus, because through God's grace, we're children of God. But then notice what Paul goes on to say in the verses that we read earlier, from verse 15 on through verse 17. For this reason, you've already received the Spirit, but Paul's really praying that we would have more of God through the Spirit and know Him more through the gift of the Spirit. Paul says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul thanks God for these Ephesian believers, but then he tells them how else he prays for them. That God the Father would give these believers a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God. And as I said before, it's Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1 and in so many other places. He's always praying that the saints in Jesus Christ would grow to know God. And how else do we gain that spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God than by receiving more of the grace of the Holy Spirit? Paul doesn't mention the Holy Spirit in our passage, at least those that we just read. He's talking about the Spirit God would work in us, a spirit of wisdom. But friends, how else do we have this wisdom in the knowledge of God except by the gift of the Holy Spirit? And Paul makes this abundantly plain elsewhere. Would you turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians 2? You want to know how we gain a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God? Really, to know God? That he would reveal himself to us personally and inwardly? You say, well, it's by the word that he reveals himself especially to us. Not just outward natural revelation in the creation, but if we're to be saved, God must reveal himself to us through special revelation. Of course, that's his word. But what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 is that the word comes and teaches us inwardly and changes the mind and the heart that we would know God personally. That happens through the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 2, and I read it verse 9 and following. But as it is written, Paul says, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit, means the Holy Spirit, searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, the Holy Spirit, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. See, if I want to know you and I want you to know me, I have to reveal myself to you. That's just the way that we gain, as human beings, it's the way we gain personal knowledge of one another, by self-revelation. And what Paul's telling us here in 1 Corinthians 2 is it's the very same way with God. With our knowledge of God, we will know him and what he has given to us in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit. The Spirit he has given to us that we would know him and all that he's given us in Christ. This is what will make children of God to grow in the knowledge of God. Plainly what Paul's telling us there in 1 Corinthians 2. Working through the Word of God, you see, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit will impart to us this spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God. Paul prayed for us to gain more of the grace of the Holy Spirit. That's really his prayer in Ephesians 1. And again, you see him doing it in all of his letters where he mentions his prayers for the saints, where he records how he prays for them. In fact, friends, we have to say this morning, if you're familiar with Paul's writings, you know this is true. All over the place you find it. This is his basic, persistent prayer for believers in Jesus Christ. That we would know God. Do you think this perhaps should be our basic and persistent prayer for ourselves? That's why we read Ephesians 1 this morning. I hope to impress on you that if, as you see this always and again, Paul's prayer for the saints, you would get a sense that this is what we should be praying for ourselves. That by the gift of the Holy Spirit, we would come to know God more and more. And Jesus instructed us to pray that very thing. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke 11, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And He gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer. It might be better to call it the disciples' prayer because he's giving it for us to pray to God. He gives the Lord's Prayer. He says, you pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and so on. And then he goes on to exhort his disciples to bring their prayers to God with a believing heart. He says, ask, and it will be given. Listen to those words here. Luke 11, our Lord Jesus says this to his disciples after giving them the Lord's Prayer. He says, Luke 11, verse 9, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, friends, if you have received the Spirit of adoption, praise God, you have life and salvation through his grace in Christ. But do you pray that you would receive more of the grace of the Holy Spirit? If you have come to know God as your Father, do you pray that by his Spirit you would know God more intimately, have deeper fellowship with him, your Father, and with the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior and elder brother? All sorts of things we need and all sorts of requests that we make to God in our prayers, but our Lord Jesus there in Luke 11 tells us finally what it is we need most. God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pray, beloved in the Lord, that God would give you more of the grace, the mind-renewing and the heart-transforming grace of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that Spirit has already been given to you if you believe in Jesus Christ, but pray that by his Spirit, God would reveal more of himself to you, especially through his Word, and that by his Spirit, God would cause you to know him and know what he has given you in Christ. And that, as we see in 1 Corinthians 2, is what Paul tells us the Spirit does for us, makes us to know what is given us in Christ. And as a matter of fact, in Ephesians 1, Paul's really praying that we would come to know this very thing. In knowing God, we wouldn't just know things about him, but what he is toward us through his grace and love for us in Jesus. To know all that he's given us in Christ. And would you conclude with me here in Ephesians once more? Ephesians 1, verse 17. Here's Paul's prayer again. He prays that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. You see, friends, we should especially pray that the Holy Spirit would further enlighten us to know our living hope of salvation. It's not just a prayer that we would receive the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. It's not just a prayer we would know God. We know God. It's a prayer that we would grow in our intimacy with God. Notice what Paul's praying, especially through the knowledge of what God gives us in Christ. In other words, through knowing the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ, the living hope of our salvation. That's Paul's prayer for us. It should be our prayer for ourselves. Believers have already been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and we already know these things to some degree that Paul's listing there in Ephesians 1. But you see, friends, it's like we've only just begun to understand what God has in store for us through Christ, our Savior. As he says in 1 Corinthians 2, no eye has seen it, no ear has heard. Man cannot even imagine the riches of God's grace in Christ. Yet we must pray that God, by His Spirit, would make us to know these things that are in and of themselves beyond human comprehension. And knowing Him in Christ, we would also come to know ourselves. Not only as sinners dying in this body, but as saints, as sons of God in Christ, in whom we find our new selves. For the Holy Spirit is remaking us so that we would become more and more like God our Father, and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Dear saints, pray. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks to God through Jesus Christ. And pray especially that you would know God. He gives freely to those who ask. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.